praise and one that we want to show appreciation to in our life for what you have done for us. And Lord, this morning I pray if there be one here that does not know you as their Savior and Lord this morning, that today would be the day that they will say yes to you, Jesus, in their life. And Lord, I pray for us as Christians today, the battles that we face, the struggles that we have. Lord, you know where we are today and what we need this morning. And God, I just pray that you will have freedom and liberty to work in our life and to be God in our hearts this morning. Thank you for loving us today. Bless our time together around your word as we sing and give and worship you today, Lord. May you be glorified and honored in all that we do today. We pray in your name, Jesus. And all God's people say it this morning. Amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. It's so good to have you with us this morning. And glad to have you here in the house of God today and looking forward to what God is going to be doing. Several announcements. We'll come back and I'll mention several of those in a little bit. We'll say to all the ladies today, though, that right after the service this morning, we'll have a secret sis meeting in the auditorium here. And my wife will be coming up from Children's Church toward the end of the service. And that'll be right after the service today. So I want to make sure I mention that to you as we'll have that. And then this morning, if you will, let's take our songbook. And I want you to go to 235 this morning, 235 today. And we're going to sing another song this morning. Let's sing out this morning like we know what it means. You would, let's stand together. 235 as they lead us in peace and in freedom.
Once like a bird in prison I fell, no freedom from
Saturday. That would be a late trip. We'll probably leave the church here at about 5 o'clock and get back. recovery and everything, he's going to be flying up towards Washington, D.C. here pretty soon for a trip with World War II, and they're going to have a special thing planned that day. He's one of the only soldiers alive that platoon that was shot down, and they're going to pray for him. He did get clearance from the doctors to do that. He will be in a wheelchair and a lot going on with that trip, so pray for him for that trip, and he is excited about that going there. And then also, Miss Michelle, too, passed away this week at Tuesday at 10 or 11 at Chapman's. Will be that. So pray for that service as well. 10 will be the visitation. The service will be at 11. That is this coming Tuesday. So I want to make sure I mention those. I'm so glad to have you with us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our offering today. Father, we come to you. Lord, thank you for giving to us. God, you've been good to us today. Lord, this morning, even among us as your people, God, we know that we are the target of our enemy. We learned in Sunday school, Lord, that the devil is going to do all that he can, Lord, to sideline us and discourage us, distract us from what you want to do in our lives. Lord, we know that the devil sometimes uses circumstances, situations, people. Sometimes, Lord, he even attacks our own mind. And I pray today as God's people, they can sense and hear in our service this morning, Lord, he is trying to distract us today from worshiping our Lord today. Not our Lord that is the God of religion, but the God that died, rose again, is alive forevermore. You're a living Lord today, and you live among those who come together, Lord, in Christ. God, I pray this morning right now as we prepare to take up our offering to you and search our hearts today, Lord. Help us to be open to you. In this world, Lord, the body of Christ, this is the gift that you've given to individual believers. Today, Lord, I pray as your Spirit is leading right now, we would open our hearts to you today, and we would not sit through a service, an offering, singing, preaching to your word, fellowship with the brethren. God, that we would not be guilty of being unaffected by you and your work in our life. Lord, this morning there are many things on the minds of those that have gathered here in your house today. Lord, those things will be there after church. They'll be there tomorrow. They'll be there Tuesday. But this morning, Lord, we allow you to work in our life and to search us. And God, to plow and do your work in our life today like you long to do. And God, those that are here are frustrated in their life, they'll find freedom today. Those today, Lord, who are discouraged today, that they can see deliverance among them. You as God's people, Lord. And those today, God, they're just lost in their mind this morning. That they will find leading today. Looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for answers. Holy Spirit, we need you today. We need you to do among us what only you can. God, there's no one that can be glorified other than you and your work that you do. So God, will you help us today? Minister, give healing, give deliverance. God, will you do among your people what only you can? Jesus, we ask this in your name today. And all God's people say it. Amen. Amen. We live by a lie. looked at, we saw that the attacks of the devil are coming to us. We're going to endure persecution. We're going to endure hardships. We're going to have those things in our life. Why? Because we're Christians. So listen, I want to say this. Suck it up and get over it. You're going to be fighting the devil in your life. And you've got to realize that that is going to happen to us. And we're going to have to battle. We're going to have to fight. And we're going to have to be willing to do spiritual warfare against the enemy in our life. And I want to say this. A lot of times as Christians, we give up on God. We give up on Him. And we put down our guard and we say, you know what, God, it's too hard. But I want to say this. It's not too hard this morning. It's not too hard to live for God. And we can live for God. We can be faithful to God. And we can make it. Now, the truth of the matter is, though, our world has given so much terminology to the church that sometimes we don't even know what to believe anymore. We're afraid we're going to say something that don't fit into the vocabulary of a certain church. And I just want to say this morning, Jesus loves me, He died for me, He saved me, and He wants me to be faithful to Him to all the way to the end. Amen. You agree with the Bible? The Bible is very clear about those things. He died for us to save us, He wants to be faithful to the end. And whatever you slice that up as, you go ahead. But the truth is, a lot of Christians, we're quitting on God today in our life. But I want to say this. It's not because that's what we desire to do. And I believe, and I know I'm not, have been saved long as some in this building, but I want to say this. I think a lot of Christians today, they're quitting on God, not because they don't want to live for God, but they're quitting on God because they don't know how to have victory in their life. They don't know how to achieve the freedom that is in Christ. They don't know how to get through the things that the devil keeps throwing at them in their life. And they get so discouraged and frustrated. And so what do? They end up just eventually giving up on God because they didn't know how to deal with the problems in their life. And I'm going to say this morning, if you are a Christian today, that means your sins are forgiven and God is in your life. If that's true, say amen. Amen. But watch me this morning. You have to understand, now as a Christian, you have got to learn to deal with yourself. You've got to learn to deal with your life and what is in your life. And if you don't learn to deal with where you are in your life, you cannot be faithful to God. You will get discouraged. You'll quit on God. And my friend, if we're going to please the Lord, we got to get to the place where we're willing to dig deep in our own life and let Him do an eternal work. Somebody say amen. We need to read the Bible this morning. We're already into it. Amen. But watch this morning. The truth of the matter is, there's some of you sitting here today, and you're almost at a point in your life where you're ready to give up on God. You're apathetic. A while ago, we talked about at Calvary. That's where it changed. That's where history changed. That's where the world changed. The world changed at Calvary. It was at Calvary that my sins were forgiven. It was at Calvary that I was able to have a new life. Hey, and some of us, let's be honest, we're so apathetic that we mumbled through that song. And it's not because you ain't saved. It's not because you don't love the Lord. It's because you've gotten to a place in your life where you're so apathetic and you don't know what to do. And you wonder, can I get out of this rut? We can get out of a rut in our life. But I want to say this morning. Whether you believe it or not, the Bible teaches us as a Christian, if we're not careful and we don't deal with what's in our own life, the devil can pull us away from God and we can end up quitting on our God. But I want to say, He'll never quit on us. He never gives up on us. And I want to say this morning, there is help for God. Now, before we read this morning, this is a familiar passage. But I want you to follow me on this morning, if you will. In Mark chapter number 4 today, I want you to envision in your mind that you are riding north of town in Eufaula. If you're not from Eufaula, it's that way. Amen. And you come up on 150-acre field. And that field has been freshly plowed. A farmer took his tractor and his plow, and he went out there in that 150-acre land, and he just plowed. drive by that field and you say, man, that is a beautiful field. But you can't see what's underneath the surface. And you don't know what's going on under that beautiful dirt. Because all we can see is the outside. And I want you to envision this morning that a field has just been plowed, it's been dished, it's been harrowed out, and it's been planted. It is a beautiful flat surface, and it all looks the same. Now, that is the setting of this. Dave Ernie McGee, help you see that this week. I want you to stay with me if you will. Mark chapter number 4, going into this parable. It is not a parable with messed up dirt. It is a parable with a field that has been dished, plowed, harrowed. It is beautiful, flat. Now look at Mark chapter 4, verse number 3, what the Bible says. Mark chapter 4, verse number 3, the Bible says this. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Who's the sower? It's a picture here of God the Father. Was he sowing the seed, which is Jesus Christ? And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But look at the next verse. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And then verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit. This sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. This morning and for the next couple weeks, I'm going to preach on this idea. The seed and the soil are dealing with the dirt in your life. Let's pray. Father, will you help me right now? Lord, help us today. God, help us to understand this morning that we are people in need of you. We don't have the answers. We don't have the wherewithal to live in victory in this life, but you do, Lord. And God, we don't have all the things that need to be done. We don't even understand it all. But there's people in this building this morning, Lord, that they're sitting there in their life today. And God, they feel like they're on the wayside. And they feel like, Lord, what are you going to do in my life? And some here, Lord, they're struggling emotionally. And they feel like it's just about time to give up and quit. And Lord, there's others here that slowly they're dying and they're fading. They don't understand why. And Lord, I just pray this morning that God, you wake us up today and help us to see, God, that you alone are the one that can help us and help us to be willing to dig under the surface in our own lives today. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Now, guide us in the next few moments. We pray this in your name. And all God's people said, amen. promise is this. And it came to pass as the sown seed fell by the wayside. Now look at verse 5. And some fell on stony ground. Verse number 7. And some fell among thorns. Verse 8. And some fell on good ground. This morning, friend, we are all sinners. But we all have our own set of barriers from those sins. Please understand that this morning. The struggles that you have in your life with sin are different than the person that is next to you today. Do you realize in verse 4, that perfect seed, it fell on the wayside. Verse 5, that perfect seed, it fell on stony ground. Verse 7, that perfect seed, it fell on thorny ground. And in verse number 8, that perfect seed, it fell on good ground. You know why? What was Jesus teaching us? This is why. All of us have different lives this morning. All of us have different backgrounds today. All of us have different strongholds this morning. And what you're dealing with in your life is different than what your brother's dealing with in his life. But understand this morning. Every one of us in this building today, we is dealing with something in our life. And I know that's not good English. But it's true. So let me ask you. What are you doing? What do you mean, brother? What do you mean? Here's what I mean. Some of you sitting here this morning, you got saved out of a life of a rebellious sin. Now watch me right here. You love to drink. You think of drinking. You go to sleep thinking of drinking. You wake up thinking of drinking. Hey, I want to say this. You got to have God's help with your drinking habit.
Amen.
Some of us this morning, we grew up in church. Some of you grew up in church. You know all the stories of the Bible. Somebody goes to a text, you can probably quote it before they get there. You can quote John 3:16. Well, watch this. You said in church time after time, we get to read, and you fail to worship God. You fail to praise God. You know the stories. You heard the stories. But somehow, you're half asleep in the song service. You're not singing praises to your Lord. You're not singing praises to Him for setting you free. You're not singing praises to Him because He knows your need and He'll meet them. And you sit there, and you're apathetic, and you almost had to be woke up. Why? Because you have a need in your heart that the woman that was involved in prostitution did not have in their life. I'm going to tell you this morning. Here's what we do. We think everybody's like us. I'm going to say we ain't all the same. And we all have different barriers this morning in our life. And understand this morning, if you're sitting there thinking, get them preacher, you get them drunks, you get them prostitutes, you get those drug addicts, you get them preacher, go after them. Hey, what about us this morning? Sitting in the house of God and we can't even worship Jesus Christ because we're so apathetic to the things of God. Somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you this morning. It's crazy for us to think that we're better than the drunk that's sitting up at the Hilltop Lounge and we're sitting in here and we ain't prayed 5 minutes all week because we don't even realize that we can go directly into the presence of Almighty God. My friend, we have a heart problem and only Jesus can help you do it.
Amen.
He's the only one that can set you free from that life of arrogance and pride in your soul. He's the only one today that can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. I'm going to say this morning, we all have different barriers in our life. This is a true story. You still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
This week, I was talking to a man that's a Hindu right here in our town. And I was talking to him about the Lord, trying to. And I couldn't even talk to him about Jesus Christ. He was so enamored with telling me what was going on in his life. He was talking, he was on the phone. I said, man, who keeps calling you? He says, it's my banker. I said, what? He said, yeah, I'm bidding on this $2.3 million property in our town. And I thought, what church you buying? He says, you want to ride with me in my truck? So I jumped his truck, we were riding with him. what do you think will happen to my money? I said, you ready for this? According to the Bible, it's going to burn. There you go. I want to say, when that man gets saved, he's going to have to deal with some battle about material things in this world. Right, Adam? Right. And many of us in this building, we're going to have to fight those battles, but he's going to. If he's going to stay faithful to God, he's got to deal with these battles. Why? Because that's what his heart is. That's what his heart is set on. And hey, understand this morning, some of you in this building, you have a wayside heart underneath the surface. You got a stony ground underneath the surface. You live by emotions. When things are good, you're on top. When they're not, you're down in the dumps. Why? Because you're a stony ground Christian. Some of you this morning are thorns. Today you're sitting here and you're surrounded by the things of this world. But understand today, all of us this morning, all of us today have a different barrier that we have to get across in our life. Number two. Number one, we all have different barriers. But watch out now. I love this part. Number two, Jesus gives every heart a chance. I'm so thankful for that this morning. Jesus gives every heart a chance. I want you to look with me, if you will. I'll tell you what. Let me give this to you. It did not matter what type of soil it was. The seed was sown to them. The seed went to the wayside. The seed went to the stony ground. The seed went to the thorny ground. And the seed went to the good ground. Can I tell you this morning, I don't care where you were in your life. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what kind of baggage you got. I don't care what kind of mountains you face. I don't care what kind of battles you got in your life. Jesus Christ is going to give you the same chance that he'll give everybody else. You say, not me, Brother Joey. God can't give me an even playing field. I was too wicked before I got saved. No, that's what you think. Listen, prideful people are more wicked than the immoral, according to the Bible. Understand today, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter what you've done, Jesus Christ is going to give you the same chance that he gives everybody else in their life. John 1:9, Jesus said, this is the true light. Watch this, the light of every man that cometh into the world. In Matthew 4:16, he says, the people that sat in darkness, that's all of us, saw great light. There will be a time in your life as a Christian and even as an unbeliever in coming to Christ. But as a Christian, God is going to give you the same chance that he gives everybody else. A lot of people believe this morning, Brother Joey, God shows favoritism. Look at me. That's a heresy from the Bible. God don't show no favoritism. You understand that he don't have any stepkids? I got divorced 5 times before I got saved. And guess what? The blood washed every bit of it away.
That's
right. Amen. Right, Joy, I cheated on my wife every weekend until I got saved. And the blood washed it all the way to the same place.
That's right.
Oh, Brother Joy, you don't understand. I sat in church year after year, and every Sunday I had barbecue preacher, and then for supper I had fried preacher's wife, and then Wednesday night I had smoked preacher's kids. You don't understand how wicked I've been. It doesn't matter, because when you come to Christ, baby, he washes it all over the blood. I'll give you to God this morning. In John chapter 3, listen to this. Jesus came to Nicodemus, a man whose heart was on the wayside. He was hardened towards the things of God. He knew all the law. He knew the doctrines, but he didn't know God. He had a sorry attitude. He wasn't Christ-like. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus came to the Gadarene, a man on stony ground. He was emotionally high one day and emotionally in the dumps the next day. In John chapter 4, Jesus came to the immoral Samaritan woman in her life who lived a life of sexual sin and who would have died in her sin and went to hell. But Christ came to her in her life. In Acts chapter 10, Jesus came to Cornelius, a man that grew up in Sunday school. He was raised in the church nursery. He knew the Ten Commandments. He knew the law of God, but he didn't know Christ. But Jesus came to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 16, you ready for this? Stay with me if you still with me. Jesus came to a woman that had built possibly. Now, I'm saying possibly because no other theologians have just come out and said it, so I'm going to side with them on the air of opinion. What's this? Possibly. The richest lady that ever lived in the Bible was Lydia. She had a hopping business, not just in her country, but in cities all around. This lady was loaded. Listen to me. Jesus came to her. He came to the beggar. He came to the prostitute. He came to the demoniac. He came to the religious man. He came to the man who grew up in church with a wayside heart. And my friend, this morning, Jesus Christ will come to everybody. And I don't care where you are today. You say, Brother Joey, I was in that church, and they told me because of what I did when I was a teenager, all sinners. We all get saved the same way. And we all got the same opportunity now to get to Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, this morning, some of you sitting in this building, you think I'm just going to have to be second-rate Christian the rest of my life. I'm going to have to drive through my Christian life. Listen, you don't have to drag through nothing, my friend. Greater is He that is in you than He that is in this world. The same God that rose from the dead is in your life as everybody else's life in this world. And understand today that if you know Christ today, you are the privilege. You have the possibility of doing something great for God. Now somebody can say amen about that, man. Number three, here it is. Number one, we all have our own barriers. Understand this. Every one of us in this building, there is something under the surface in your life that is not in you, but it's in you, but it's not in you. You've got your own battles. And if you are so fools to think that you don't die, you're so deceived, you're going to die discouraged. You're going to die discouraged as a Christian because God can't help you until you realize, I got my own problems. We all got our own barriers. Number two. I love this. Jesus gives every barrier the same chance. That seed went to every soil. Number three, number four. What you and I do with the seed and the soil will determine our future. What you do with Jesus Christ in your life is going to determine your future. Not the preacher. Not the church, not your Sunday school teacher. What you do with your seed will determine your future. The seed is perfect, but the soil was always the problem. Each had the seed for him, but did not endure because it was not willing to deal with what was under the surface. Now listen to me this morning. The wayside, it did not get past the hard surface, and therefore it didn't make it. Won't you listen to me this morning? You may be sitting here today and you say, Brother Joy, I'm sitting in here and the word of God is ricocheting on my heart like a steel wall. You better humble yourself before God today and say, Oh God, I sit down with an eternal inspired book in my lap and the Holy Spirit of God that has been sent to the earth that rose from the dead, and I'm sitting here and I'm unchanged by the eternal word of God. God, help me in my life. I am at the wayside. How do you know you're at the wayside? You ready for this? Because by the time you leave the building, the seed that's been sown in your heart is gone. It does not affect you in your life. You say, Rejoice, what does that mean? It means you're a wayside heart. And it doesn't matter what your Sunday school teacher taught. It doesn't matter what the preacher preaches. It don't matter who sung. My friend, you are unchanged by the seed because you are a wayside heart. And you'll be back next week and I'm going to talk about how we can deal with that if we're a wayside Christian. I'm going to tell you, that's what most of us in this building deal with. Somebody say amen. The stony ground did not dig deep for the shallow surface. That's some of us in the building. One day, whew. Next day, whew. One day, we're going to save the world and we're going to go put out the fires of hell. The next day, not only you're not even come to church, you won't even pray. What's wrong? There's no depth. There's no depth. Stony ground, you're shadowing your faith. Oh, you can talk a good game, but you are not stable in your life. Why? Because you're on stony ground. And hey, the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how we can get past that emotional barriers in our life. And I want to say this, until you and I are willing to dig deep down here, to dig deep, to get down there where nobody is but God, and God knows it, until we're willing to dig deep, we're going to live like this the rest of our life. Don't you think about that thorny ground? That thorny ground, the things of this world will zap the spiritual life out of your life. It'll kill us. It will kill us. That building. If you get that, last week, we're going to talk about what it means to be a separated Christian. We're going to look at it. So, but y'all don't want to hear that, then stay home. Go somewhere they don't preach the Bible.
Come on, brother.
We're going to talk about it. Because I tell you why, here's what happened. We're putting so many things before God, and we're allowing the things of this world to take us away from God. True story here. If you're still with me this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Wherever you are in your life, whatever you do with Jesus Christ
with eternity.
Won't you look at I close my Bible. Some of you this morning, you're at a place in your life. You say, "Brother Joey, I just don't know if I'm going to make it. I just don't know if I'm going to make it." So, Brother Joey, how? Here it is. Whatever you do with the seed will determine your future. The seed is perfect. Is sown in your life, but you got to allow that seed to get down here deep. And listen to me, if you don't, you will not remain faithful to God. From the best that we can understand of the man in the Bible named Demas. Demas was a young man that had a lot of potential. Evidently, Demas grew up in a well-to-do home. He grew up with a prosperous advantage in life. Not only did he have money, he knew how to get money. And I want to tell you, it's one thing to have money, but it's a whole other thing to know how to get money. Amen? The Bible says that Demas got saved. And real quick, Demas became a co-laborer for the gospel. The Bible even says, Hymen and Philemon, I think it was, that Demas was Luke. He was with Silas and he was with other believers in Christ. And out there in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Demas was not only called of God, he was anointed of God, and God was using Demas' life. But there was a problem in Demas' life. Down there under the surface. That beautiful field where the perfect seed was sown in his heart. There were some little thorn seeds too. And Demas, as he began to grow in his faith, Demas did not deal with those thorns. And so those thorns, they begin to sprout. They begin to grow in Demas' heart. And one day, we don't know where it was, but Demas was out there and he was working. He may have been with the Apostle Paul. He may have been with Silas. He may have been with Luke. He may have been with John. We don't know who he was with. But somewhere in his life, the devil came and attacked him. And Demas had the thought, "I'm out here risking my life in a ship with the Apostle Paul, and I could be making bukus of money back at home in Thessalonica." And we don't know how long it took in Demas' life. But one day, ready for this, Paul saw Demas and he went up to Demas and said, "Demas, what's wrong with you? I notice you've lost your book. You still pray and read your Bible like you ought to, Demas? Are you still talking about Jesus Christ? Demas, are you doing what you need to be doing, Demas?" Demas looked at the Apostle Paul and said, "Oh, Paul, preacher Paul, whatever, I am." One day, Paul saw it coming. Demas walked into Paul's office. "Stay with me. I know you have all this." Said, "Paul, I've been praying. And I think the Lord wants me to move back to Thessalonica. There's a job open up there, and Paul, when I get there, I'm gonna work hard, man. I'm gonna send money, I'm gonna support all these churches, and I'm gonna give all my money to mission." And Paul says, "But Demas, is that what God has for you?" And said, "Well, Paul, I've been praying, but I think so." Paul said, "All right, whatever you say." And Demas left and moved back to Thessalonica. Went back to trying to make the money. And Paul wrote